Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Tonight at 8 p.m., Aaron McKeown will play at Helsinki Hudson, supporting the Mountain Goats. Aaron is a musician, writer, and producer based in Western Massachusetts. With 9 full-length albums, 2 EPs, and numerous soundtracks to her credit, she's a local, national, and international artist and activist, and she joins us now. Aaron McKeown, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you so much for having me.
You are touring the UK in May, and I wanted to ask you first what you enjoy about traveling and how your audiences are abroad.
I'm one of those people that if I do the same thing every day, I go nuts. And so for me, traveling is the answer to that. It's a constant something new, constant something different. I do better when I keep moving. I also love to play for people, and you can't play for the same people all the time, so that solves that problem.
And are audiences different depending on what country you're in, or are music fans throughout the world?
I think it depends if they're drinking or not. I think that's more, I think that is what counts more than what country they're in. So I think drunk people in the UK are the same as drunk people in Chicago. But I would say that quiet people in the UK, not drunk people, are different than quiet people in San Francisco.
How so?
I think that, for example, my experience in the UK is that people tend to be very polite and very reserved if they're not drunk, and giving you your due respect, and to me, often to the point of being too quiet. I like an audience that has a little sass. I like an audience that's ready to participate. I like an audience that isn't afraid to shout something out at me. I mean, as a performer, that's like, that lands right in your breadbasket when somebody says something to you, and then you can say something funny back, or you can pick a different song and really interact with the crowd that way. So in the UK, I like people to get drunk.
You teach music and songwriting in private lessons, workshops, masterclasses. Why is it important for you to have teaching and sharing in that way be part of your career?
Well, I learned how to be a musician from watching other people. And I had a few teachers in my life. I took guitar lessons for about a year when I was maybe 13 or 14. And I had some other less formal teachers, musicians who were kind enough to let me tag along or watch things. And then I taught a lot of myself by going to shows and getting right in the front row and just drinking in everything a performer or songwriter might do. Same thing with albums, reading every bit of the liner notes, paying attention to what song came when. And that's really how I taught myself. And becoming available for people to do that with me has been really important to me. I like being a part of a cycle of information, experience, being exchanged. We don't really have a, you know, apprenticeship system in many places in this country, and certainly not in music formally. So I like being available for that. And it's been amazing to work with. I mostly work with young women, but it's been amazing to work with all kinds of songwriters at different levels. And, you know, I think everyone who teaches says the same thing. But like, as a teacher, I'm sure, just as much out of a session as my students do.
Last summer, you worked as a host for WNYC, New York Public Radio. What did you take away from that experience?
That I want to be a host more. It was really a fabulous experience, and much more difficult than I thought it would be. What you're doing right now takes a lot of skill. And for me, as someone who's generally what I'm, you know, where I am right now on the other side of it, like I just open my mouth and say whatever I want. But for you in your position, you have to be listening to what I'm saying, thinking about the next question, maybe even listening to a producer in your ear, reacting, listening, thinking ahead. And it was like juggling in an incredibly satisfying way. The other thing is that when I am performing on the road, for example, I can't eat cheese because it just destroys my singing voice. But if I'm a radio host, I can eat all the cheese I want because it doesn't matter.
How did that job come about? How did that collaboration come about? How did you hook up with NYC and sit in for the summer?
I was a guest on their music program, Soundcheck, and that's been hosted for a long time by a wonderful man named John Schaefer. And John and I have a really great rapport, and we love to talk sports. And we always talk sports off the air. And this time he made a little space in the show for us to talk sports on the air. And I correctly predicted the Super Bowl that year and quite far out. So when the Ravens won, as I had predicted, I was teasing WNYC on Twitter and saying, I should be your sports correspondent. And they said, sure. So I wrote an 8-part blog series for them on the intersection of sports and music, which is something that is more interesting to me and something I do more in my private life, but it was really great to share that with them. And those experiences writing for them and working with them led them to ask me to come in and sit in as a guest host. I piloted a program for them called Players on Players, where a musician talks to an athlete. It was an amazing experience. I mean, it's something that I wish I had more time to do. Musicians and athletes, for example, have a ton in common. And all the athletes that I talked to, it was just right away we were off and running. Your job is like this. My job is like this. Our jobs are the same in this way. You know, music for me is a vocation and sports are a hobby. And it was really great to talk to someone for whom sports are their vocation and music is their hobby. It tends to line up pretty straightforward.
I want to play a few songs from your most recent album, and I'm hoping that you will give us a little introduction. The first one, I'm sure you've been asked about by anybody who's talked to you since the album came out last year, and that is the song you co-wrote via text message with Rachel Maddow, Baghdad to the Bayou.
So I've known Rachel for quite a bit because she was our local DJ here in Western Massachusetts for a long time on a station called The River, and then she went off to world domination first at Air America and then now, as everyone knows, at MSNBC. But we had been just mutual fans of each other around town. Hello, how are you? Not particularly close, but just we knew each other and were fans. And once she got to Air America, I was on her show a couple times and we sort of established a bit of a friendship. And, you know, the short version, this is going to sound crazy, but Baghdad to the Bayou happened because I ran into Ira Glass in a diner in Alaska with Tao Nguyen of the Get Down, Stay Down. Tao and I were on tour and we ran into Ira, who Tao knows, and then we had breakfast together, all together. And Ira, a few months later, was putting together a benefit to raise some money in the aftermath of the Deepwater Horizon spill. And Ira had asked this wonderful songwriter, your audience will know, Lucy Wainwright Roach, if Ira and Lucy, if they could write a song together for the benefit. And he was looking for sort of a parallel, analogous pair. And he said, well, Rachel's on the benefit and Aaron's on the benefit. I wonder if they'd write a song together. So that was the pitch. And when Ira Glass asks you to do something like that for birds, you say yes. And, you know, Rachel travels a ton. And so to make the song, really the only way we had time to talk to each other was by trading texts. And so I asked her some songs that she liked and some types of music she liked. And then I asked her to just text me the names of places where she was. She was reporting in Iraq and she was also reporting in Louisiana and lots of places in between. And so I kind of took her travel schedule for about a month and some songs that she really liked and turned it into a song together.
Baghdad to the bayou, in a desert of Lackamin. Wanna know where the payoff is? The strip mines of the lower nine, Fallujah to Lafourche. For every gallon drill, we gonna organize for truth.
The next song I want to share is Proof.
It seems really obvious to me that there are some things that are true that can be proved. And there are some things that are equally true, but that defy rational proof. So on the one hand, you have math, which you can prove. And on the other hand, you have love, which cannot be proven in the same rational way. And you also have God, which for me, I believe in, but cannot be proven in any rational way. You just have faith and trust and experience. And to me, both of those things, math and love, are true. And I don't privilege one above the other, but this song is trying to sort of connect that you can cut yourself, you can take a picture and see something, you can solve a math problem, and that is just as true as the way that I love you or the way that God interacts in our lives.
Take a photo, there's your proof. Solve a number, there's your proof. Take a shot down the bar, there's your proof. Fire a bullet, it gets through. Glass will cut underfoot. Evidence, you conclude, there's your proof. Seasons change, bodies move. fall, queens will rule. From the forge comes a tool. Trot the sky, watch the stars. There's your proof.
Let's do That's Just What Happened.
This song is so special to me. It came to me in a dream, and there's a couple of songs on Manifestra, including the title track, that came to me in a dream. And I really mean literally, I was dreaming and the song was kind of fully formed in the dream, and I woke up and rolled over, and in the case of Manifestra, just wrote out all the lyrics, and in the case of That's Just What Happened, picked up my phone and just sang it right into the phone. And I love that. It's a reminder to me that writing songs, I can try all I want to. I can practice my craft. I can decide that I want to write a song about, you know, oil spills and birds on the bayou. But there's another force working through me that sometimes decides that I need to write a song about addiction and a song about one of my favorite places in the world, New Orleans, and where those things can meet.
There was a time when my soul was tied, and whiskey had a hold of my head. For if or a song that liquor would ride, that was one step closer to death. Down Jackson, down Bourbon, down Ursuline, down Basin, I walk discontent, all with the sugar on my lips and that cake on my mind. Well, the devil followed wherever I went.
Last song we'll do is The Jailer.
A few years ago, I started doing more activism in addition to being a musician. This was something I'd always privately done. I've always cared about causes and larger social justice issues, certainly outside of music. But I was afraid of bringing that work into my music because we've all heard bad political songs, right? The message is great, but the song is terrible. And I was so terrified of contributing to that problem. But then I had this experience where a group that I work with, Air Traffic Control, and another group I work with, Future Music Coalition, took some artists, a group of 10 of us, down to the border between the United States and Mexico, Nogales, Arizona. And we stood right next to the wall that's being built between the United States and Mexico. If you are for it, you call it a fence. If you're against it, you call it a wall. This is a distinction I've noticed recently. But we stood right next to the wall, and it was a very powerful experience. And I was standing there with a man who lives on the American side of Nogales, who runs a charter school. And I asked him why this wall had been built this way. It's a series of posts, like, set into the ground. And he said, well, the U.S. government found that they had to be able to let water through it. And I found that image very striking, that something as natural as migration was stopped, but something as natural as water was allowed to go through. That distinction there. And I didn't go on that trip thinking I'd write a song, but then The Jailer started to form in my mind. And honestly, I wasn't thinking about the politics of it. I wasn't thinking about immigration. I wasn't thinking about the movement to you know, help the 11 million undocumented people in this country. I was thinking about the experience and the humanness of standing next to this structure. And I think that's why, if I do say so, I think this has turned into a great political song, because I think the song came first from a real experience, and the anthem, the placard, the protest shout was a secondary thought. And I hope that this song, when people hear it, I hope that it gives them an opportunity to think about how culture moves, how people move, and the benefits of doing that, and the consequences of when we try to block natural movements the way we would block arteries. What would happen if you had a blocked artery? What would happen if you tried to block a river that was wanting to flow where it had been intended?
Break my back and tie my hands, send me to the jailer. For every man that jailer keeps, his soul is getting darker. Try to cross him if you can, scar across the desert.
When you play at Helsinki Hudson, you are supporting the Mountain Goats. Is that an act that you enjoy?
Absolutely. I became familiar with John's music, maybe 4 or 5 years ago through a mutual friend. This friend shared one of my songs with John, who really liked it, and then invited me to come to see him in Brooklyn. And I went to the show and absolutely loved what he was doing and got a chance to meet him afterwards and say hello and have stayed friendly through the years. And last year he made a record called Transcendental Youth that just blew my mind. It's one of those, I don't know, you know, sometimes a record comes to you at the right time in your life. And I have to say that, you know, as someone in their mid-30s, that happens less than it did when I was a teenager. I think most people would agree. But for some reason, that record just got me the way, you know, it might have gotten me if I was 14 or something. And it's been a real pleasure to get to do these dates with him. We're going to sing some songs together and mutually appreciate each other on the stage.
Aaron McKeown will open for the Mountain Goats tonight at Helsinki Hudson. More information is available at wamc.org/roundtable. All of the songs we shared today are from Aaron's 2013 album, Manifestra. I'm Sarah LaDuc, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. Today.